Amen. Good morning again. Isn't it so precious and blessed seeing that list of who God has made himself to us? Our maker, defender, redeemer, and friend. That God, the creator, the maker, would desire and decide to be friends with me, with you. What a thrill. I think often of, you know, if we make something, we tend to kind of like, well, you know, I made it. It's not that great. You know, I don't make something and then go, oh, I want to really, you know, be friends with that, love on that. But God made us and he still looked at us and said, I want to be your friend. I want to get to know you. I want you to draw close and be friends with me. And just such a joy, such a depth there of love and mercy. Let's open with prayer. Father, I thank you for this beautiful time together. Lord, I thank you for the precious, loving heart of our Father, Lord, that would reach down and make a way of redemption, make a way of salvation for us who are so needy of it, so unworthy of it. Lord, I just pray that our time together around your word this morning would be sweet, would be challenging, would be encouraging. Lord, that we might draw close to our Father's heart. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I want to start in Psalm chapter 40, or Psalm 40. I guess you don't say chapter for Psalms. Psalm 40. And we are going to read something here that was written by David. And David felt it and believed it, but it was prophetic to Christ. Psalm 40, verse 6 through 8. He says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. And this is repeated in Hebrews in relation to Christ. It's says, you know, it was written of me. In the volume of the book, it was written of me. I come to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is written in my heart. And just to clarify here in verse 6, when he says, sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, burnt offerings and sin offerings hast thou not required. He's not saying God didn't require those things as much as that's not all. That wasn't the depth, that wasn't the extent. Those things couldn't fulfill all that God wanted to have in relation to us. They couldn't fulfill what was necessary to actually stand in a right relationship with God. We looked at that this morning in Hebrews, how those were pictures and types. They covered for a time because of what they were pointing forward to, but they themselves didn't actually wash away the sin. They covered it so that God could righteously extend mercy to the person who had brought that sacrifice, that he could extend mercy to them based on that sacrifice for a period of time. And then there came, you know, the next year came around, they needed to sacrifice again because it didn't cleanse. It was a temporary solution. But he says, these aren't the things that you desire. These aren't the extent. All these things aren't the extent of what you're driving at. What is he driving at? What has God been driving at since the dawn of creation? The heart. The heart. He says, the law, thy law is within my heart. And what does that play out in? How does that look? I delight to do thy will, oh my God. I delight to do thy will. So as you look back through human history, and especially the children of Israel, who had at least were supposed to have a connection with God, and God told them and laid out like how to have this and maintain this relationship with Him under an old covenant that was imperfect because of human failing, but yet was a way that they could have connection with God. We see that even through all of that, all through down through history, God's desire has been that you and I wouldn't find a relationship with Him to be tedious, wouldn't find a relationship with Him to be heavy, wouldn't find a relationship with Him to be just a, how does Paul say it? Like it was a burden that was so heavy even they couldn't bear it. He said they wouldn't even lift it with their little finger because it was too much. Because God had given a law, and then the Pharisees had heaped on hundreds and hundreds of their own little sub-laws to try to make God's laws work, in their opinion. The same kind of thing that Eve did when she heaps on to God's first initial commandment, said, don't eat of the fruit. And she says, well, I know that there's, you know, weakness in me that I might do something I'm not supposed to do. So I'm going to create another law on top of God's law that'll help keep me even farther back from committing the sin. So she says, well, God says we're not supposed to eat it or touch it. So she's creating and adding more layers to try to keep God's law, but it didn't work, right? And it never has. All down through history, we see men and women trying to do this, and it's never worked because the things I add don't have the power and the authority of God's word. And God's law is already something that is more than I can keep on my own. So adding to it doesn't help collar my flesh and make it actually happen. It just makes it even more unattainable. It just makes it something that people begin to abhor, to despise. It becomes something that people are like, well, I don't want anything to do with that Christianity stuff. It's just a bunch of rules. I remember hearing a lady say one time, well, the Bible is just a rule book. That's all it is. It's just a book of rules. It's like, man, you aren't reading the same Bible, or at least you're not reading it with the same heart as what I'm reading it, because if I was to describe it in a single sentence, I would say it's a love letter. Yes, there are things in there that God expresses what He desires for His people to do, but in throughout the Scripture, if you're going to characterize it as one thing, I couldn't bring myself to characterize it as a rule book, because that's not the heart of it. The heart of it is God wants a relationship with us. And He wants it so badly that when the first covenant failed because we couldn't keep it, He sent His Son to pay the price for the covenant I failed to keep so that the covenant could still be fulfilled in a new covenant where He pays all the penalty of my sin. And He stands as the mercy seat and as the blood on that mercy seat and as the propitiation and all these different terms that we have, because God's purpose, God's drive has been for us to have a relationship from the heart, for us to be able to come to a place where we want to be His. We want to do what He wants us to do. We want to please Him. We want to make Him smile. And this is His desire repeated again and again through Scripture. And we see here, again, just individual people throughout the Old Testament who figured it out and they got it. And David here writing, he says, this, all these things that are physical fulfillments of what God has commanded on a physical level, they're not the basic truth that God's driving at. The very heart of what He's driving at is He wants me to delight to do His will, and He wants to have His heart within, his law within my heart. If it starts in my head, it's a heaviness. If it starts in my heart, it's joy. The keeping and following of God's requirements and desires for our life ought not to be a heavy burden. It ought not to feel like I'm missing out on all the quote, good things in life. If I feel like that, it's proof that at least to a certain extent, I still need God to renew my heart. Because he says in Psalm 51, verse 10, he talks about a new heart. And he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. This is after David has fallen into sin with Bathsheba. And this is his psalm of repentance. And he's saying, hey, my heart isn't clean. That's why I'm walking away. That's why I'm disobeying. It's not just that I didn't quite collar my desires enough to make myself obey the law, but it's deeper than that. My heart wants things it's not supposed to want. And my need isn't just for more grit to buckle down and keep these laws, but my need is for a clean heart. My need is for these things that God expects and wants from me to come from inside my heart. So they're not a rule book that I'm trying really hard to follow, but it's a way of life that springs up from a love and a walk with Him. A heart that wants to obey. Ezekiel 36, verse 25 through 27, he says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your iniquities, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. From what basis are you arriving at this point where you're walking in his statutes, keeping his judgments and doing them? Just from trying harder? No, from this new heart. This new heart where Christ reigns supreme. This new heart where his desires become my desires. His burdens become my burdens. His joys, the things that thrill him, begin to be the things that thrill me. And it doesn't start by me just trying to make it happen. It starts from the heart. It starts from inside. We see this in Ephesians 6, verse 6, where he's talking to servants in particular, but it applies to all of us, right? It says, not serving with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Doing the will of God from the heart. That's the core of the matter. That's where it goes from, I'm struggling and struggling and struggling against my flesh, and it's a losing battle, and I want to do what I'm supposed to do, but I find myself not wanting to do it all the time. And I find myself, even when I want to do it, I'm falling and I'm stumbling. And I'm coming back to the point of realizing I've got to start from the heart. I've got to start from delighting to do His will. And the only way I can do that is to fall in love with Him, to fall in love with my Savior. So that I'm doing the will of God because I want to do the will of God. If I'm doing it out of duty, if I'm doing it out of my responsibility, this is my Christian duty, it's not going to be satisfying. It's not going to be fulfilling. It's not going to be joyful. Every time, as soon as I let down my guard for half a second, bam, it slips, right? Because it's something I'm making myself do. I don't really want to do it, but I'm making myself do it because that's what you're supposed to do. But there's a difference when it begins in my heart with regeneration. And I'm not saying if you are if you're in the experience of what I'm talking about of struggling against your own desires, that you aren't that you're absolutely for sure not necessarily saved. But there are levels of regeneration in my heart that need to happen. And when I first come to the Lord, many times it's fresh, it's exciting, it's new. But as time goes on, I find my flesh rising up again. Well, no, I want to do what I want to do. Yeah, God, I'm trying to be obedient, but I don't really want to be. I'm trying to do what I'm supposed to do, but it's hard because it's not what I want to do. If I find myself in that situation, I ought to go back to my Savior and say, create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. A right spirit is one that desires what He desires. God, create this down inside of me. I'm trying to work it out in the physical realm, and it's not working. Because what did Jesus say? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So you're trying to cleanse the mouth, but you don't realize it's just bubbling up out of the heart. And that's the same in all areas, not just the mouth, but in all aspects of our life. Out of the abundance of the heart comes the things that we do, the actions. They come from our heart. And so if I find myself battling and struggling and losing this battle, this war against sin and against the flesh, just on and on and on, I don't need to just buckle down and try harder. I need to cry out to my Father and say, create in me a clean heart that actually wants to do what you want me to do. Because I find myself struggling to want to do. It's not that I don't know what I ought to do, right? Most of the time, that's not our problem. We know what we should do. And we would say, well, I want to do it. But yet, there's other wants that are so much bigger and so much stronger that they overshadow that in the moment. And the need is, create in me a clean heart, O God. Because if I'm trying to fulfill my walk with Christ, physical side in, it's not going to work. But if I'm doing the will of God from the heart, all of a sudden it's a joy, it's a pleasure, it's easy because it flows out of that kind of a heart. It flows out of the kind of a heart that knows and loves its Savior and wants to do everything that He wants me to do. It flows out to do the things He wants me to do because He's my joy. I find joy in His joy. I find joy in His presence. I find joy in walking with Him. Again, this shouldn't be a heaviness to live the life that God calls us to. 1 John 5, verse 3 through 4. 1 John 5, verse 3 through 4, he says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." His commandments are not grievous. That's when you actually love Him, right? This is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, but His commandments are not grievous because they're based off of that love. I'm not just striving to keep these commandments. This is the love of God that takes those commandments and makes them joy. Takes those commandments and makes them not grievous. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So God's desire, God's call, God's plan for His people is not that they be constantly falling and stumbling and wallowing around in the dirt. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. How do I overcome it, God? How do I beat this flesh? How do I beat these tendencies in myself? the love of God. This is the love of God that takes God's commandments and makes them not grievous, not heavy, not hard to keep, because I want to do His will. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, Jesus speaking here. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30, He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I will give you rest. So many believers, or at least professing believers, and I think many genuine believers, have not experienced this. They've come to God and they've tried to keep a whole new set of rules, but they haven't come and found that He will give you rest. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." It isn't if you're trying to fulfill it in your flesh. It isn't if you're trying to force yourself to do what He wants you to do. But if you are, it's because you haven't fully fulfilled the very first phrase, "Come unto me." Come unto me. If I find His yoke or His will, His desires for me to be hard or heavy or difficult, it may be that I've not, in the fullest sense, come to Him and found it restful to surrender my all and let Him lead. Let Him be in charge. If I find myself struggling to surrender my will to my Father, I need more of Christ's presence and character dwelling in me, because in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, we read that I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. So if He's dwelling in my heart, then He's the one who's living that life out. And if I find that that life's not being lived out, maybe I need to check how much of my heart I have walled off from Him. How much of my heart am I not allowing Him to be the fulfilling essence of? To what extent do I find myself not crucified with Christ? To what extent do I find myself not allowing Him to live His life through me? I'm still trying to live it, right? I'm still trying to do what I'm supposed to do. It's heavy. It's burdensome. He says, "Come to me. Come to me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light." If I find myself struggling to bear this weight of all the expectations God has for me, and what all the heaviness of what righteousness and holiness is and all of these things, maybe it's because I've not come to Him fully. And this can be something that you discover again and again and again throughout your life. There's been many times when I've come to Him in a deeper way, and a couple years later I found myself again just struggling and bearing a heavy burden of duty, and I had to come again to Him and find that His yoke was easy and His burden was light. It's a continuing experience of learning to do the will of God from the heart. It's a continuing experience of learning to let Him live His life in me and through me, instead of me trying to live His life or live my life in the way He wants me to. But learning to say, "God, You live Your life in me." Learning to say, "God, created me a clean heart. Take out this heart that wants all these things that You don't want me to do. This heart that wants all the things I shouldn't want. This heart that's so desperately wicked and deceitful. And put in me a clean heart. A heart that desires what You want. A heart that has a softness towards God, a heart that desires His pleasure, a heart that desires His presence, a heart that says, I don't care about any of this other stuff. It's not the good things I'm missing out on. All the good things are contained in Him, so I'm going to flush that all away. And I'm going to cling to Him. As Paul says, I count it all but dung for the excellency of knowing Him. It's not worth keeping around. It's not something you hang on to. You flush it. Because when I really come to know Him, when I really draw close, when my heart is really changed and cleansed deeply, and I have a new heart, I want what He wants. Because I realize it's so much better than what I want. I realize it's so much more precious. It's so much more fulfilling. All the fun that seems fulfilling from a human perspective is so empty when you realize the depth of what we have in Christ. And all of a sudden, it doesn't matter anymore. If somebody's got if I'm out in the desert and I'm starving and somebody brings me a plate of broccoli, if I'm hungry enough, I might choke it down to survive. But if somebody steps around the corner with pecan pie, I'm not going to have any trouble leaving that broccoli sit in the desert and take the pecan pie and go on. Because it's so much more fulfilling. It's so much better that it no longer is a heaviness. Oh, man, I got to leave behind all that broccoli? No, I'm glad to leave it behind. I'll take the pecan pie. I'll take the steaks and the ribs. It's not hard when I realize what I'm trading it for. It's not hard when I realize what I have in my Savior. It's not hard to say, who cares about those things? Who cares about all the fun that I'm missing out on? Because this is life, and life more abundant. This is fulfilling. We see Christ exemplify this so beautifully throughout His life. John 6, verse 38, He says, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." Unless we think that that's a heaviness to Him. In John 4, verse 34, Jesus said, "My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish His work." That's literally what sustains me and gives me energy and gives me sustenance and keeps me going, is getting to do God's will. Wow. Wow. God's desire is for you and I to find it a delight to do His will. All the way back already in Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12, He says, "And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways and to love Him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul." Even all the way back in the Old Covenant, when so many of the people reading it look at it like, boy, it's just a list of rules. Yet, God states His desire is that you would walk in His ways and love Him, and that it would come from the heart. Nine times in Psalm 119, it says the phrase, speaking about God's commandments, about His precepts, about His things that He expects and wants of us. He says, "It is my delight." Nine times in that chapter, He says, "His will is my delight." We see this in Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. We see, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." I remember hearing verse 1 as a young guy, I don't know how old I was, but I'm like, boy, that sounds like a lot of don'ts. A lot of don'ts. You know, blessed is the man that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, doesn't stand in the way of sinners, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. Boy, I ought to really mind my P's and Q's. But no, the next verse says his delight, it's his joy. Because when you actually get to know him, it's a delight. His delight is in doing the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night, not out of a sense of duty. Oh man, I got to remember to meditate. No, it's what I automatically think about because it's what thrills me. It's what delights me. It's what's rising up and bubbling up from my heart. Oh, may I not be found struggling to do my Lord's will. May I be found delighting in his will bubbling out and overflowing from a heart that says, God, I just want more of you. I just want to know you more. I just want to get closer. Can I get a little closer? And there's always closer to get. There's always more. There's always more depth. There's always more closeness. There's always more levels of companionship, friendship, love. May I be found doing my Lord's will from the heart. Let's pray. Father, truly this morning, this is my desire. And I hope and pray this is every one of our desire, Lord, that in every aspect, in every way, and to the fullest extent, I would be walking in and doing the will of my Savior, the will of my God, not out of duty, not out of heaviness, but out of a new heart that desires what you desire, out of a heart that loves what you love, that loves you and therefore delights to do your will. Father, it's not a heaviness when it comes from the heart. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments and they're not grievous to us. Lord, may that be the testimony of my life every day. In Jesus' name, amen.